We are back today with part two of episode 36, Unpacking Identity with certified life coach, Dr. Hannah. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here.
So I had to, when I got clarity on that again, I had to go back to God and say, God, heal me. Heal me again. Deliver me again. Give me another level of deliverance. Because deliverance sometimes come in waves and in levels.
Yeah.
But I wanted to point out or share that particular story because the way the enemy works in our lives, you'll be surprised how your identity wound is showing up in your daily behavior. And it seems like nothing.
Yeah, you don't even know it.
You don't even know it. So you have to be very keen and prayerful and say, gosh, as you're showing me who you are, God, show me who I am. And it's not just all the great things, but also show me, God, where I'm fractured in my identity so I can purposely and specifically target that in prayer so I can be healed. And I think God walks us through these journeys and these kind of idiosyncrasies of life. Yeah. Because again, it's so subtle. But what I do know, I can identify abandonment and rejection in somebody just like that. Yeah. Because God has showed me all the little nuances in my own abandonment and rejection. So it cannot hide from me.
Yes.
So I think that's why he kind of stair-stepped me through this through this process. And he's still stair-stepping me because something, as an opportunity arises, something else will creep in and now I have to identify it. And cover it in prayer.
Yeah. I love how the Holy Spirit covers us. You know, you mentioned when he gave you that revelation, you weren't necessarily in deep prayer. You were just in a quiet space of stillness. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much that he cares about healing us. It is truly his heart to heal his daughters, to heal his people. And he does it in such a nurturing way that hits home for us deeply. And so I love that. I love his comfort. I love his faithfulness. And I love how he revealed that for you. I also love how we have the very obvious in your face identity issues within our culture. But I love that you touched on the very real issues with identity that each of us live with daily, we may not even realize it. So it causes us to, yes, address and talk about the more in your face things and pray about and against the more in your face things, but to also continue to kind of bring ourselves before the mirror of God's standard, to examine our hearts, to examine our own ways. So I love that. I love that.
Yes.
So biblically speaking, what is identity and what is our true identity? And before you answer this, Dr. Hannah, I love the scripture. I forget where it's taken from, but it says every word of God proves true. Mm-hmm. God's word, I think one of the issues with one of the issues with culture today is that there is this resistance to the idea or the notion of absolute truth. We seem to think that everyone can have their own versions of truth. And so the idea of conforming or submitting to an absolute truth can really get people bent out of shape. But the mm-hmm. truth of the matter is there is an absolute truth.
Right.
And that absolute truth, it's the truth, the only truth, and that is God's truth. So biblically speaking, what is identity and what is our true identity according to scripture and according to God and his word?
So I want to answer that question by starting at the beginning. When God created us in Genesis, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And that scripture is outlining, not only are we created in the image of God, meaning we have a head and we have hands and we have feet. So we have like the structure and form of God, but also when God made us from the dust of the earth and breathed into us and we became a living soul, we have a portion of ourselves that is immortal like God is. Our soul has an eternity. Mm-hmm. That's a piece of God's immortality that he gave us. The soul, when we die, when this body dies, our soul was alive. And then we either being with him for eternity or be separated from him for eternity. So we have his form. We have an immortal soul. But also he's given us, like the Bible says, a level of dominion, power, and authority that's God given.
Yes.
So if I'm aware that my identity in God, I look like God, I have an immortal soul, a portion of God that will not die, and also I have power and authority given to me by God. If I'm very solidified and secure in those three portions of my identity, as outlined in scripture, I would be very careful because I look like God, how I speak about even my own appearance. Mm. How many times as women, we walk past the mirror and the first thing we have is a critique.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a little bit too overweight. I wish my body looked like this. Oh, I have a stress pimple or da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And some of it can be harmless, but a lot of it is harmful, subtle, but harmful.
Yes.
If I really believe that God gave me an image that's like his, I would be very careful even about my own words and how I talk about the way I look. Mm. Number two, if I believe that there's a part of me that will not die, the soul that was made alive by God's breath, I'd be very careful how I live my life. Because if my soul is not dying, where am I going when this world is over?
Come on.
I would be walking in his statutes and in his laws, because I'm aware that part of my identity is an immortal soul. Mm. And also, if I'm solidified in my identity, that I have power and authority and dominion given to me by God, I would use my power and authority to drive the workings of the enemy out of my life and out of anything that's attached to me. Because I know that's part of my identity. I can cast the enemy out. I don't have to settle for living a life beneath my privilege, because I'm aware that my identity includes power and authority.
Come on.
So that's where this identity thing starts. And if we really believed it, we would operate different. We would speak different. We would carry ourselves different.
Come on.
And another thing I'm going to add, Hannah, and I tell my coaching clients this all the time, especially us as women, never attach your identity to anything that can change.
Come on. I was just getting ready to speak on that. Come on, Dr. Hannah. Come with it.
So I am a physical therapist. I have a doctorate degree. I have a good job. I can wake up tomorrow, God forbid, and the licensing board take my license. My boss fires me. If my identity was tied into my career, I would lose myself. I can get married tomorrow and now I'm a wife and I have a husband, which would be a blessing. However, if my identity is in being a wife and my identity is lost in my husband, God forbid the marriage doesn't work or he decides to leave, then my identity leaves with him.
Yes.
I can be a business owner and an entrepreneur making good money, and I can allow that success to become part of my identity. If that success dwindles and it goes away with the tides of the stock market and the entrepreneurial world, if my identity is in that, as that wanes and declines, so will my identity. But there is something that is part of our identity that will never change, whether we're rich, poor, black, white, fat, skinny, sick, anything, is I will always be a daughter of God.
Come on.
Always. That's where your identity is. That will never change.
Whew. Sometimes you just have to be still.
Right.
Let that word stick. Let it sink in. True identity does not change. It cannot change. It's not based on a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not change. It's not fluid.
Right.
Say that again. You said the things. Wait a minute. What did you say? If it can change, it's, what did you say, Dr. Hannah? You said if it can change, it's not identity. What did you say?
Don't hang or assign any part of your identity to anything that can change.
That piece right there.
And that's where you start building your foundation on identity. And it goes back to what you said about absolute truth, because the truth will not change.
Yes.
Now, facts can change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The fact is right now I have a black shirt on. The listeners won't be able to see it. Yeah. But if I just stepped out the camera and changed my shirt, now I got a white shirt on. So that's not truth. That's facts. Facts can change as the day changes, but truth will remain forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of your identity. That is your identity. You're a daughter of God. Will never change. That's the absolute truth.
And I think that really creates a situation, kind of quickly going back to ways that you believe the enemy is stirring devastation and confusion. There is this misunderstanding, one, that identity is something that you can kind of just go and pick and select and create and manufacture. Mm. And we make such a mess of things. Identity is not something, it's given to us by the Creator. It is nothing that we can create. It does not change. Yeah. It is based on a matter of truth, absolute truth. So I'm hoping that this will provide even just that piece, if nothing else, that provides some freedom for women who are toiling with identity, women who are defining their identity in terms of things that can change, defining their identity in terms of earthly concepts and standards and constructs. It is none of those things. I love what you said, Dr. Hannah. It's eternal. I love everything of what you said. And I hope that that is bringing about deep, deep freedom as women begin to deeply ponder and explore true God-given identity.
And you, the key word that you just said is freedom. Because the Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes. I think sometimes as humans, we think we're wise enough to choose and, like you said, manufacture and decide who we are, who we're supposed to be.
Yes.
But if you know that God has already, in his sovereignty and his wisdom, chosen that for you, that takes the burden off your shoulders.
Yes, it does.
That makes it easier for you.
Yeah.
So I think we just have to trust God more.
Yeah.
And we'll trust him more when we know him more.
Yeah.
When we get to know him more, when we really spend that intimate, dedicated time with him. The more you know him, the more you have to trust him.
You have to.
To trust him.
Even as we're talking about this now, I begin to see just like a lot of the dissolving of a lot of the issues that we face as mankind. I see it dissolving. So I think of how many people are driven into such deep depression, into such deep issues with mental health issues, demonic oppression, and all these things because of this very thing of identity. as they are going about trying to make sense and find out who they are, it's leading to so much discontentment, so much self-loathing, so much loathing of other people, so much dissensions and all kinds of things. I instantly, even as we talk about that freedom, I see that just beginning to dissolve, even in the spirit, if people can really just catch this and begin to understand where their identity lies. A lot of the, you know, the bulk of what I deal with here, even on the podcast, is emotional issues, emotional healing and restoration. And that's why I thought it was important to start with this topic of unpacking with the identity. I believe that once we begin to get this foundational thing in order, you will begin to experience realms of freedom. These things that were once strongholds, chokeholds, will begin to dissolve because the power of them will become so weak once you discover and understand who God says you are.
And you hit that on the head, Hannah. That's the crux of our walk with Christ. And we're going to get into this soon. But I'll just leave it there. That's the crux. That's the foundation. That's where everything begins.
Yes.
With our walk with Christ. Yeah.
Yes. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Set you free.
Who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Free indeed.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, we've already been kind of talking about it, but what do you think was God's heart? You brought us back to the beginning. God created us. He said, let us make them in our image.
Yeah.
What do you think was God's heart and intention in giving us an identity? Why, or excuse me, what do you think he intended identity for?
So God wants us. So God created all of us for a purpose. If his intention for us here on this earth was just to get saved, live sanctified, and that's it, he would just get us saved and just take us with him. We all have a calling, a purpose, and the Bible says a good work to do here on this earth. And you cannot optimally walk out the purpose and plan and task for your life that God has set forth for you to do unless you know who you are. For example, in scripture, think about Moses. Mm-hmm. When God called Moses and got his attention through the burning bush, he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And one of the first things Moses said was, who am I to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let your people go? He questioned his identity. He said, who am I? Moses was unaware that God had purposed him to be a deliverer of millions of people.
Hmm.
And the first thing that the enemy used to talk him out of his purpose and his call was to question who he was.
Hmm.
So God's purpose for identity in all of his children, it needs to be solidified. It needs to be walked out. Because everything that God has me to do and you to do, Hannah, and every one of your listeners, is going to be optimized. You're going to be at your most powerful gifting and anointing when you're doing it from a foundation of knowing who God made you to be.
Amen.
That's why. Because again, if we were just here to live saved and stay away from sin, he'll save us and say, all right, let's go to heaven now.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm saving you. I'm sanctifying you. I'm consecrating you. I'm healing you. I'm delivering you. I'm solidifying you in your identity because I have a work for you to do.
Yes. Amen. Amen. There's a scripture. It's something about something relating to the fear of man versus the fear of God. Do you remember what that scripture is?
If my mama was on this podcast, she would know exactly.
The fear of man does not.
Is a snare.
Yes. And it's something. Fear of man.
It's Proverbs 29:25. This may be the scripture. The fear of man is a snare because man is a false god, but the fear of the Lord is safe because he really is God. That's a paraphrase. That's a different translation.
Mm-hmm. Read that one more time.
It says the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe.
Yes. And I Yeah, I think that might be it. But that I think there's another one too, but that gets the point across. I thought about that as you were sharing about Moses and him questioning, like, who am I? You know, he could have, and I'm sure that even in his obedience, he did it afraid. He was concerned. I mean, you're going up against Pharaoh and you have this huge undertaking. But the glory was for the Lord. Obviously, it was only God who could do that. But imagine if he had surrendered to that fear of man.
Yeah.
Versus the fear of God. I think about struggles with identity in my own life. And I think one of the biggest struggles that I encountered growing up and even well into my womanhood was a fear of man. A lot of the seeds that I heard growing up was telling me how timid I was. Now, naturally, as a child, I was more reserved. I was more on the passive side. As I became a woman, I realized that some of that was true to my personality, but it wasn't 100%. I learned to be passive and reserved because of fear. And so I also learned to be very suppressed, very inhibited. And as I became a woman, even just in my journey of identity and coming into who God says I am, a lot of that fear of man was broken. It's still being broken. But a lot of that is being broken. And I just thought about that with Moses asking, like, who am I to do these types of things? Imagine if he had become ensnared by the fear of man. He would have never went forward. He would have never believed in his identity that God gave him, that God called him to. Moses would have never completed the task. And it just kind of quickly brings me to another issue that can arise with identity. When we don't know our identity, we become weakened in our purpose. We become completely weakened in completing and fulfilling and carrying out our assignment and why God has placed us here on this earth.
Right. And there's tens or hundreds of thousands or even millions of people who are suffering if and when we don't have enough concrete hold of our identity to complete our assignment. So if Moses allowed fear to talk him out of his identity and his assignment, literally millions of people would have suffered.
They were at stake. Yeah.
And we don't know how many people would be suffering if we didn't say yes to our assignment.
My God.
Because we let the fractures in our identity keep us quiet or make us run from it.
Yes.
And like, Hannah, you don't even know if you decided to not start this podcast, how many people or where God has intended for this to go and the amount of people that it has to reach. There might be a woman in this episode or 10 episodes from now listening to it who's contemplating ending her life. But she heard your voice and something that you said that made her turn. But if you said no, or you allowed fear or identity fractures to say, God, I can't do this. Look at all these. There's so many other people doing podcasts. Why me? Why me? Like Moses said, who am I to do this? So getting solidified in your identity is not only for you, but it's for the people that God has assigned you to. Yeah.
Oh, if we could just get this. Lord, help us to get this. Help us to see, Father. What are some of those things that fracture our identity?
And I like this question because it goes back to what we discussed before about our childhood, our rearing, our most influential season of our lives when we're children. If there is a person or persons that a child sees as a voice of authority, if they say or do anything that is damaging, that'll automatically fracture the identity. So here's the thing. I'm gonna give you another story. And this is how the devil's so subtle. So you might remember we talked about how we're made in the image of God, and because we're actually made in the structure and the image of God, we look like God. We have to be careful how we even talk about our appearance.
Yeah.
I was in contact with people who are attached to my family. And in the West Indian culture, there's a big thing about colorism.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I remember as a little girl, I don't know if it was my mom's friend. I don't know. I think I was at a beauty shop and there was a Jamaican lady that knew of me, knew my family. And I had on, I think, a dark shirt. And she said, you're too dark to wear black. I was a little girl.
Wow.
And Hannah, it took until I was in college to start wearing black again.
Oh my gosh.
Because of something that was said to me, I think I was 6 or 7 years old. Again, she was an adult, so she was a voice of authority. And even though my mom and dad were amazing, but there was another adult who was in my proximity that said that to me, that made me question my beauty and my identity and whether I was really fearfully and wonderfully made. And it didn't get broken off of me until I was in college.
My gosh.
So those are some of the things that fracture identity many times. And I'm sure you know from talking to women, and I know this in my coaching world, a lot of these things are traced back to when we were children.
Yes.
And a lot of times it's from the parent, because some parents can be physically absent, but sometimes a parent is physically present, but emotionally absent.
Yes.
And that's when the identity fractures begin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Words can build and words can destroy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, as you said that, you know, I come from, my ancestry is Caribbean. I'm Haitian, as you know. I'm Haitian, Panamanian, and Colombian. Mm-hmm. But colorism was definitely a frequent topic growing up. And as I was mentioning before with my issues, I'm just thinking of a lot of the things that I was constantly told or I heard as I was being described as a child, you know, being the youngest of three children. And I'm talking about like the baby, you know, my oldest sibling is 14 years older than I am. Then the next sibling is 7 years older. So I was like the baby. And it was always, because everyone was so much older and everyone had very strong, dominant personalities, well, what was there for me to decide and contribute? So it was always be quiet and suppress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're timid. You're passive. You're shy. You're this. You're that. What do you know? And I remember it was difficult for me after I graduated from college and I got my first job, I actually was in an administrative role. I know it was the hand of God because I ended up getting chosen or hired as a director of a school in Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I thought when I was getting the call to get an offer that they were going to offer me like a teaching position or something. And the lady said, no, we want you as, at the time, my first role was as the assistant director. And I said, ma'am, I said, how am I qualified for this? You have all these other older siblings. You have all these other older, more seasoned people who know what to do. Like she said, no, Hannah, we see something in you and we want you. We think you're the woman for the job. Now at the time I'm like 23 years old, just turning 23.
Yeah.
And I come into this role and I'm immediately placed over 55 staff members. And of course, you can imagine all the contending that I had to do to fight for my respect. But I realize now looking back that God put me in that position to bring out the leader within. And so I never forget the first PTO meeting that we had. I was very used to being in the background. Now, around my friends, I was very boisterous. Like, you remember me from back in the day. Yeah. I was anything but quiet, right? So when I got out of the helm of home, I was very, like, you know, boisterous and all these things. Needless to say, during that first PTO meeting, I kind of took the back seat and I let my program director, you know, she was leading it. And I was content just taking minutes, right? And then I never forget the scariest thing happened. There was a room full of maybe about 15 to 20 parents. And these were, I was living in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. I was in Northern Virginia, very affluent area, very intelligent, highly intellectual families that we had there. And she looks at me and she asks me a simple question that changed my life forever. She said, Hannah, well, she called me Miss Forbes. I wasn't married at the time. She said, Miss Forbes, she said, what do you think? Huh. And my eyes opened and I'm like, huh? I'm like, you, like, I'm looking, of course, I didn't do all this, but my mind, I'm like, you guys want to hear what I think?
Wow.
What? Like, she's like, yeah, what do you think? And so, I slowly started to inch out. And needless to say, during the remainder of my journey there in that blessed situation, one of the best working environments that I've ever been in, I started to emerge as a leader in ways that I didn't even know was there.
Wow.
And God really began to transform me and break off that timidity. So that was the first of first, me knowing that I had an opinion. My opinion mattered. It was valuable. I had a voice. It meant something.
Wow.
It was life altering for me.
Wow. There's two things I want to say in regard to everything that you just shared, Hannah.
Yes.
One is, I loved how the team or the person that hired you saw something in you that you didn't see in yourself.
Yes.
And I can testify to many times that God has brought friends, acquaintances, brought people into my network that were strategically placed there to pull something out of me that I didn't even know was there.
Yes.
And God is just so strategic in that way, because he knew, Hannah, that that skill set that you needed to acquire through that profession, through that work, you needed that skill set to do whatever else he had for you to do in your lifetime, even this podcast.
Yes.
So I absolutely love God. It's so strategic. My dad always says he's not a checkered player. He's a chess player.
Come on.
Every move matters.
Yes, it does.
And he'll make a move today because he already sees that you're going to need that move 10 years from now.
Come on.
So I just love, that's the peace and the beauty of just being in God's hands. Mm. And just letting go and giving up the reins and say, God, let your will be done in my life. Direct my steps. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if I don't know where you're taking me, I don't know why I'm here. But God, if you brought me here, is this where you need me to be right now? I trust you enough that even though it's uncomfortable, it's doing something good for me.
Yes.
And the last thing I want to mention about what you shared, even with people labeling you as a child as quiet and shy and timid, I think, again, is a way to reframe that even with our children and our young people who may be a little bit reserved, labeling them as shy and timid. Instead, you can say, I love how you're so self-reflective.
Yes.
I love how you're so observant, because most quiet people are very observant.
Yes.
And you can even affirm them and say, I love how you're very choiceful with when you speak, because we know when you speak, that means you really have something to say. And I want you to continue to speak up when you have something to say.
I love that. Restructuring.
Right. It goes back to those words that is said over a child or a young person who's still in their developmental years. So, so important.
It's so critical. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And so I feel like that segues us into the next question. What can we begin to do to recognize that our identity comes from God? And key thing here, yield to that. So what can we do to begin to get to that point? And what does it look like, a yieldedness regarding our identity coming from God?
I want to answer this question in this way. And I think we might have touched on it earlier, and I don't want to be remiss in saying all of this about identity without honing in on this point. I want to emphasize that we're not on this journey to find identity on our own. Even the Holy Spirit is working through us. Even if you are at a point to say, I don't know who I am, but I know I need to go to God for it. That's the Holy Spirit already working in you. So don't think you have to figure this out by yourself. I got to fast for 40 days, 40 nights. If the Lord tells you to do so, then do it. But don't feel like this is going to be a laborious a guessing game. Let me figure out how am I going to. No, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you step by step by step. And again, if you're in a mode where you're like, I don't know, but I want to find out, the Holy Spirit is working already. And he, as you follow his prompting and as you allow him to order your steps, the closer you get to God, you'll experience his love, his care, his tenderness, his healing power. And that's going to cause you to yield.
Yes, it's a natural occurrence.
It's a natural occurrence. Like the Bible says, it's the love of God that draws us.
Yes.
if we really, and the world is hard, and we have enemies. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have enemies that are fighting. But if we really let go and really got into the trenches with God and relied on Him and really got to know Him, the natural result is to be yielded to Him.
Yes.
Because He's that good. He's that faithful. He's that consistent. He's that loving. Who wouldn't yield to Him? Who wouldn't love Him? But you have to go on that journey led by the Holy Spirit to get to know Him. And just make it a daily thing. Every single day, decide to spend time with Him.
And what comes to mind as you share that is let God be God.
Mm-hmm.
According to human standards, when we have to build our identity, there is, as we were talking about in the beginning of the episode, there is so much labor and toil. You got to upkeep this identity. You got to maintain it. You got to brush it up. You got to polish it and dust it off and make it better. His yoke is easy and His burden is light.
Yes.
It's a natural occurrence. It just happens. So we don't have to try.
We don't have to try.
We can cease from trying. Yeah. We can just rest. That takes work because we've all been conditioned. You know, here in this life, we work towards so many things. And, you know, you even think going back to our childhood, and this is a major thing. This is the educator in me coming out now. You know, growing up, I was an average student. Like, I remember you and all the girls always getting like honor roll. I never get no honor roll, Hannah. I never get it. Wait, listen, I'm having flashbacks. I'm experiencing some deliverance right now. I'm experiencing some deliverance right now because that alone, even just the grading system, had me feeling constantly unsmart. Right? It had me feeling constantly unsmart. And so I'm like, man, I got to work harder. I got to study harder, which you do. And it wasn't that I wasn't applying myself. It's just that the grades weren't really reflecting where my strengths were. You know, if I couldn't take a test well, or I couldn't, you know, maintain, I was a very smart child. And I came to realize that later. But I forget even where I was going with that. But we can rest. The world standards, even as a child, we have to work hard to get a certain grade. And that grade tells us who we are and how smart we are and what groups we're in. If we're in the honor group or the not honor group, it doesn't work that way with God. And so there's a lot of unlearning that has to happen as we come into this journey of true identity. As we talked about earlier, we have to, God has to break apart the fallow ground. He has to break apart the constructs, the things that we've used to determine the value of our identity and what our identity is. It's that He doesn't have the same currency. And I hope that is freeing to somebody.
Right.
That you may have been the unacceptable one in your family. You may have been the unacceptable one in your workplace. You might have been like me. And my goodness, you couldn't make honor roll to save your life maybe once or twice. You may have been on all the like black lists. God is not looking at any of that. God sees the heart. He's looking at the heart. Looking at the heart.
And the Bible says there's no respecter of persons.
Yes.
Like our ranking system in this earth means nothing to God.
Yeah.
The way we label each other and put people in categories of importance doesn't matter to God.
Yeah.
When God looks at us, He sees Jesus Christ's blood covering us and we're clean, we're holy, we're saints. That's the only thing He sees.
Amen.
So yeah, even in hearing this conversation, even though I'm part of the conversation, I feel a level of freedom even coming on me.
Me too.
So I know that the listeners are going to feel this same anointing on them because this conversation is discussing truth and the truth shall set you free.
Yes, it does. So last but not least, I feel like we could go on and on. For the woman who is yielded to her identity in and through Christ, what does her life start to look like? What freedoms and power does she begin to experience? And how is God then able to move through her?
I think this is my favorite question. A woman who is solidified in her identity in Christ and thus clear on her purpose here on this earth lives a very focused life. Because she's aware that she's a powerful instrument in the hand of God. And she's aware that her presence in the lives of others brings impact and influence. Because she knows who she is, because she knows who she is in God. Her children, her husband, her friends, her family, her co-workers all benefit by because of her God-backed confidence. Mm. She's waking up every day knowing that there's a purpose that she's alive that day.
Yes.
She's not idle. She's not wasting time. She's aware that there is an assignment and a work on her life. She takes that very, very seriously. And it's not a burden to carry, like it's a boulder she's carrying around. It's like a fire that's lit under her. It's like a battery pack in her back that drives her to do what God has called her to do. And the biggest element to a woman walking in her identity is that she's able to identify other women who are still in what God pulled her out of.
Mm.
And she has an unction, a drive, a fervor, a prompting, a necessary push to help pull others out. Women like that are the women who start podcasts and become life coaches and become counselors, who use whatever platform they can to help save other women.
Yes.
My pastor calls it a unique agitation.
Mm.
Whatever God pulls you out of, you now have a unique agitation when you notice somebody else is still in it. And that unique agitation, and it's unique because you can walk into a room and see a woman struggling with abandonment and rejection, and somebody else sees her and don't think nothing of it.
Yeah.
But that agitation is unique to you because you've been called to it. So a woman who is solidified in her identity is a world changer. And because she's in a space, everybody's impacted by her life. And again, it's not, she don't got to be loud. She may not even have to say anything. It's just her presence.
Yeah.
This, because we live in a spirit world, even though we're on earth, we live in a spiritual world.
Yes.
Even people who are not believers, with the anointing and gifting that you have on you, Hannah, you can walk into a restaurant and somebody can look at you and be like, there's something in here that I need.
Mm.
There's something different about her.
So true.
And so that's why I believe God called me into this niche of life coaching, because I want to see women knowing who they are in God. That's mm-hmm. so freeing. It's liberating. It could completely just change your life. Now that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
It's not the cliche saying that you always hear. And even that, it's such a saturated saying. No, this really changes your life.
Changes your life. And I believe God, I don't think it's happenstance or coincidence that we're having this conversation at this time now and recording this podcast. I believe this is on the heart of God.
Yes.
I believe this is on the heart of God, and he wants his children, his daughters, who are intentionally walking through their journey to identity, whatever stage they're on, to start making the clarion call for other women to do the same.
Come on.
Yeah, because it's time for us as women, not negating the men at all, but it's time for us as women to really get into our rightful places in our callings in God's kingdom. Because I believe we have a special touch and a unique gifting and anointing that's specific to a woman.
Yes.
And if we're not in place, certain things will not be done.
That's so true.
Yeah. So I believe I'm so grateful that we had this conversation and this topic was discussed to this depth and this level. Because people need to hear it. And I believe as people hear it, it's going to be awakening things in them. Yep. I believe they're going to have a draw to fall on their face and seek their Father so they can find out who he is. And so God can reveal who they made them to be, why he made them to be there, and why what their purpose and calling is on this earth. Because we got work to do.
We got work to do. And our days are numbered. It's time to.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I love what you just said. And I thought about something. I was thinking about this. I don't know. It might have been a week or two ago. I take my daughters to guitar lessons. And as I was sitting on the bench while they were in their little room doing their lessons, you know, you could see all the instruments, like all the guitars and the bass instruments and the violins hanging on the wall. And I looked around and I saw like the drums. And I was just like, I've always been there. But for that particular day and that particular instance, everything was kind of just sticking out to me. And I said, wow, you know, I'm musical. I still am a singer. I used to be more deeply active in music and recording. And I was like, wow, it's amazing how it's so quiet in here. These instruments aren't doing a thing.
Mm.
They're not being used right now. But the bass is a bass. The guitar is a guitar. The piano is a piano. If I go and hit those keys, a drum sound ain't going to come out. A piano's not going to come out. If I go and strike the drums, a drum percussion sound is going to come out. But nothing's going to come out until somebody picks it up and uses it.
Wow.
And so I thought about one keyword that you said in the beginning of the episode, that we are instruments in the hands of God.
Wow.
A guitar never gets up and just starts playing itself.
Wow.
It has to be used. And so I think there's a couple things I'm trying to say. One, going back to us trying to manufacture identity, we can't be instruments and play ourselves. Mm. An instrument is always going to be played by someone else who is skilled and they know what to do with it.
Wow.
A guitar by itself is useless. We are instruments in the hand of God to create the sound that he wants to bring forth. Whether it's to do the work, that's a sound. To do the work that he has predestined. To speak the words that he has predestined, to make the impact on other people that he has predestined. And so this isn't just about you. I was so afraid early in life because I thought it was about me. And I thought that I had to do something to compensate and show people that I wasn't so timid and I wasn't so this and I wasn't so that. And I ended up getting myself into so much mess and heartache until I learned how to be that instrument on the wall and allow myself to be used by God. And I'm still learning that.
Wow.
But we are instruments. And I love how you said as women, we have unique positioning, unique calling, unique this, unique that. That's why we have to get clear right here, right now on our identity. We have to get clear on it. We have to.
Do you preach, Hannah? Are you open for speaking engagements? Wow.
I do. That's one of my things that I offer. Yeah, I do speaking engagements and all kinds of things. Hannah, we could go on and on.
I got goosebumps. The analogy with the instruments that you so wonderfully pulled out and just eloquently explained. Like you said that they are what they are. So they're being who they are. But it's until a skillful player actually uses them, they don't have any use. So even in our becoming and in search of our identity, to be who we are, we still have to be yielded to be used in God's hands.
Come on.
He's the skilled player.
Come on.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
We're gonna end on that note.
That's so good. That's a good way to end.
Girl, I didn't sweat it out my straightening.
She went from 3C to 4B.
Girl, real
and
quick.
One episode, an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness, Dr. Hannah, tell listeners where they can find you. And if they are interested in your services, how can they contact you and make that happen?
So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Grace Makes Space. That's my business handle. You can also follow me on my personal page. It's Miss Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, St. Louis, S-T-L-O-U-I-S. On TikTok, it's Let Dr. Hannah Coach You. That's D-R, Let D-R Hannah Coach You. And my website is gracemakespace.com. You can sign up for a 15-minute free consultation. You can sign up for, I'm doing one-on-one coaching. My coaching clientele is small enough, which I'm grateful for, to be honest. I can still do one-on-one coaching. So you can sign up for a one-on-one coaching session. You can read more about who I am. You can buy merchandise. So again, that's gracemakespace.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Listeners, I pray that you all were blessed by this conversation today. If you are in a season in your life where you are looking to break through, especially in terms of identity, this is the particular gifting that the Lord has given Dr. Hannah. Listen, reach out and have a conversation with her and see how the Lord would lead you. Also, go and support her, follow her social media handles, purchase her merchandise. She has freely given here today of the wisdom that God has imparted to her. So let's show her the love and support and the appreciation. We believe in giving flowers while we can smell them and see them and behold them. Dr. Hannah, my dear friend, thank you so, so, so much. I'm glad that we had this talk. I agree with you 100%. I felt more levels of freedom stirring in me, even in just talking. And I'm so thankful. I thank the Lord for that. And I thank you for your willingness to be here in this space with me today.
It was my absolute pleasure, Hannah. I enjoyed this discussion, this conversation very, very much. And again, I believe this is God ordained. I believe it's right on time. I'm grateful that we reconnected.
Yes.
After all these years. I'm grateful that God has kept us through all these years, kept us in Him.
Yes.
So, this connection is not going to stop after this podcast episode.
No.
So,
I know where to find you. I know your family too.
You know my family, right? You're running into my family now. Okay.
So we are going to end on a lighter note today. If any of you listeners have been following me for some time, you know that guest interviews are still a new thing here on the She's Marked podcast. And, you know, I have the side of me that's really heavy. I like being heavy and all deep and all that stuff. I love that. But then I do have a side of me that's very light and silly. And I love that part too. So I like to add this lightning round to the end of my interviews. I like to put my guest on the spot a little bit and have some fun. So Dr. Hannah, if you don't mind, and if you're willing, I'd like to go ahead and fire off.
Let's do it.
Let me find my paper because I just had it. Okay, here it is. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Dreamer or realist?
Realist.
Okay. Now, this next question, I'm just letting you know ahead of time, I'm about to judge your whole life based on what you say. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
French toast or waffles?
French toast.
Okay, all right, we're here.
Okay, good.
You're safe. I got nervous.
I literally was nervous.
All right, okay. All right, cuddle up with a blanket or just turn up the heat?
Oh, blanket.
Okay. Be intellectual or be athletic?
Intellectual.
Be called clever or be called driven?
Clever.
All right. This next one I might judge your life for too. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Markers or crayons?
Oh, markers.
Oh, I'm crayons.
You have children.
I know. I think that's why, because I've seen markers do some things they weren't supposed to do. Markers have ruined my life in many ways.
I can imagine. I'm like, yeah, that's a mommy answer. Crayons.
Listen, just yesterday, my two-year-old markered the inside of her mouth black. And this is like the 100th time that she does it, that she has done it. And I don't know where she keeps getting the markers from. I hide the markers. I lock them up. And somehow, some way, she comes out. Like, she'll just walk out of the room and her whole face.
Hey, now, you're not feeding your kids?
Right. What is this, right?
You're not feeding your children?
Have them tell the story. It looks like I'm not. Oh, my goodness. Okay. IG or TikTok?
Ooh.
I might get you in trouble here.
Dang.
I might get you in trouble.
IG or TikTok? What's my... TikTok. I'll just go with TikTok.
All right. TikTok. Okay. And then last question. Be able to move to a new city every month or never be able to leave the city you were born in?
I would never leave the city I was born. I hate moving.
Yeah, it's a task.
Listen, you have so much stuff. You know, everybody has that junk drawer in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like you get to the point when you're moving and you go through that drawer because you got to take everything with you. You're like, why do I have buttons in here and pens and a receipt and a sock? You just get irritated with yourself. So no, I would stay in Springfield, Massachusetts the rest of my life.
That's final answer. You ain't doing it.
No, I ain't doing it. Get somebody else to do it.
Get somebody else to do it. We ain't doing it. No deal. Well, my dear Dr. Hannah, that's it for our questions. Thank you so much for humoring me.
Absolutely. It was fun. I enjoyed that.
And thank you again so much for being a special guest here. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. Until next time. Dear listener, your support means everything. And without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life. And I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmark.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.